Don't say anything until paper up. Do you want the rest of one? So the hallway, which we might be able to launch, is just like mystery where it was. But we're stuck in a game. But
hey, Doug.
Hello.
Are you at the beach?
I am. I'm just trying to finish my dinner, too, so I'll try not to let everybody see me eating here. And
yeah. What room. Beach are you at?
We're down at St. George Island.
Oh, lovely.
Also, yeah, a good friend of mine had a place, and they're not legally allowed to rent it right now, so she said yeah. It's right at them.
Lovely.
Very nice. Let's see where I can. All right.
Hi, Doug.
Hello.
Hi, Doug.
Welcome.
I can see Ann. Oh, there's Carol. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Uh-oh.
It's kind of dark.
Does that do it?
Hello, hello. Hi, Alita.
Thank
you, Dan. We got a lot of folks without their video on.
Yeah, no kidding.
I see Harry and Renee.
Everybody click their videos. There we got Steve.
Hello.
Hey, Steven.
Jenny, I'll be able to hear you, but my camera on my computer is screwed up, so you won't be able to see me, but I'm here and I'm listening.
Never mind.
Who is that?
That was Jenny. Hey, Rocky.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any idea? I think we did this before, but Mega Yacht Technical Services International is in the waiting room. Does anybody know who that is?
No. We outed them last time. Unless they want to take us for a ride on the yacht. No, we don't know them. So... Who's Alan over here? Oops. Who's Alan?
Alan Ballard.
He's no longer on the board.
Oh, he's not. Oh, I thought he was division chair.
No. So we've got someone named Sue, someone named, there's Alan.
There.
Sue Sullivan.
Sue, can you start your video? Just making sure everybody's...
Hold on. Hey, it's Sue speaking. I'm refusing to start my video.
You're refusing? Oh. Okay. Does anyone know there's
you don't want us to see you.
That I'm almost in my pajamas and eating dinner? No, I don't think so.
I've got someone that's... in the waiting room with the username A from Hertz, H-E-R-Z. Anybody know? They've left, so.
That is Alan from Hertz. He lives in Emery Grove. He's not a board member. He may have thought that it's next week's meeting, because he will definitely be tuning into that.
This is a board meeting, right? I believe these meetings are open to the public.
Yeah.
They are.
It's required by the bylaws. So I'm a little surprised that there is surprise that the public's here.
I'm in, but I don't know if you can hear me. This is Sandra Thornton.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Well, I guess I don't know how to get visible, so I'll just be invisible.
Do you have your video?
Sandra, look down at the bottom. You see to the left, there's a little thing that says start or stop video on the left at the bottom.
on the left at the bottom of your screen, or?
Well, at the bottom of the Zoom screen, it's at where it's black down at the bottom. First thing you see is mute, and then the next thing you see is the video, start or stop.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
You click that to
cross through start, so.
There you go. Yippee. Yeah.
I'll sit up straight.
Yeah. Or tilt your camera. Oh, that's good. Tilt your camera in. That's what I had to do.
All right.
Hey, Phil.
How are you doing?
Good to see you. Travis and Harriet are on mute. We have your voice, people.
We're here.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. That's good. So if we need to, for quorum purposes, we have 32 members of the board now, so we certainly have more than a quorum.
Jamie, can you hear us?
Yes.
Jamie, are you on mute? Can you unmute your...
Doug, can you unmute her?
I'm trying. I just don't... I'm clicking on it, but it's not letting me.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
I'm unmuted.
There we go.
Jenny, you have something right in front of your camera that fuzzed you up.
Yes, I know. My camera is broken.
So I
can hear all of you.
Okay. And we can hear you.
I've got electricity over here, so.
Okay, thanks.
Go with me. My camera is broken, but I can see all of you and I can hear all of you.
And we can hear you. That's good.
So the only thing for flush toilets next.
Okay, kid, I think you're a go.
Well, so the only thing we have on the agenda, is this correct, is the appropriation for the CSX bridge, and then we have the Land Use Committee and Chabad Center. What else was added?
That's it.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then it'll be real simple. Doug, is it okay? I don't want to precede the Land Use Committee or step on Steve's toes, but do you want to go first about the CSX rail line, the bridge, the appropriation?
Sure, and I don't want to presume that everybody's had a chance to look at the incredible PowerPoint presentation that I put together. As a result of all the hard work that the team has been doing over the past, I don't know, 7 or 8 months, but the sort of brief summary is the group of folks that are focused on, hang on 1 second, I'm trying to talk and let Leon in. I think I just did that successfully. Anyway, the bridge, the CSX bridge that crosses Ponce near Artwood, as you would go to Fernbank, that has the GDOT signage on it, has been sort of an eyesore. And a group of folks, myself included, have identified that as sort of what we might call the Eastern Gateway to our neighborhood, as you're coming from Decatur and that side of town. And the thought was that it really would benefit from a full restoration, as the team has seen several bridges in other parts of the country done, and that could coincide with the Olmsted 2022 or Olmsted 200 celebration that will be sort of kicking off officially in a few years. And so there was sort of a general brief that was an opportunity for the neighborhood to explore, and we have been busy. Starting by interviewing several companies that specialize in the assessment of work required for historic structures and how to restore them. We have been able to whittle down the estimate, sort of looking at this from two angles, knowing that the cost was fairly significant from the assessment. We both got the price whittled down, and we hacked at it from the other side and were able to secure funding not only from several private donors to help us initiate the assessment phase, but also we successfully lobbied OLPA, and we believe we've secured sort of an in-kind donation from OLPA as well to sort of help offset the cost of this, what I think is about $4,600 for a true construction historian to take a look at and tell us what's required. We've met with DeKalb County and have been assured, and indeed the sort of petition has already been submitted to the SPLOST funding source for beautification, such that whatever this assessment turns out to require, whether that's cleaning the concrete, there are some special tiles on the bridge on either side that may require a little more TLC. But our elected officials have assured us that the beautification funds can be pulled from the county and will be used to actually do the work that is required. And so we are hoping that the DHCA can fund a little less than $3,000 that would be combined with the OLPA funding and the private donor funds that would really show DeKalb County that we are committed and interested in the restoration of this bridge. And we feel confident that in so doing, that they will come through on their end, and we will indeed have what would become a very nice addition and entrance to our neighborhood from the east side of town.
Has everybody looked at the presentation? You have an opinion?
Very impressive.
I don't think I really can see it on my phone. Is it just the imagine what might be? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that may be the first slide. Is that Sandra talking?
No,
Carol.
Carol, yeah.
I sent it today again in that email. It's an attachment.
Okay. Well, so there's no kind of a proposal yet. This is just.
Good question, Carol. We have a proposal. We actually started with a proposal from a different vendor. We then switched to Lord Aiken Taylor and had a proposal that was, you know, north of $12,000. And we've been able to sort of carve away from that. We eliminated the engineering sort of angle on that, on the assumption that CSX must be responsible for their own bridges sort of structural integrity. We pulled out the assessment. They wanted to charge money to, the estimation. They wanted to charge us to tell us how much it might cost to do each various piece. And we've gotten DeKalb County to commit to doing that piece of the puzzle. And so we've really pulled it down from the initial proposal, you know, five months ago, of about $13,000 to now something that we feel that's much more manageable in the, you know, $4,600 range.
Hey, Doug?
Yep.
This is Jenny Richardson. I just wondered, you mentioned that CSX would be overseeing the structural stuff. Are they going to donate some money to the project as well?
Others may want to weigh in on this, but the truth of the matter is CSX really isn't all that concerned, although they've been good stewards of removing graffiti when Yvette and others have complained about the graffiti that's been on the bridge. I would say that they are probably not all that keen on doing anything more than sort of the base to ensure that it is structurally sound to support the trains. So short answer is I would bet they are not willing to contribute to that. But I think with the funding we're requesting from the DHCA board today, as well as the private donors and the OLPA donation, we really will have all we need for the structural assessment, and then DeKalb would pay for, you know, to get the actual work done.
So do you need a motion from us? I mean, do you need a motion at this point to allocate the money? Is that what we need to do?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll make a motion that
Can I ask one quick question first? Doug, has it gone up? I thought it was $4,300. I know it's only $300 we're talking about, but wasn't it $4,300 when we discussed this at executive committee?
The total.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the ask, I thought the ask was $2,300, but we're asking $26 now. Is that correct?
I'm sorry.
Our motion probably needs to be up to $3,000, and Doug will do the best he can.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay.
Jan, if you want to finish your motion, make it for up to $3,000.
$1,000 for the bridge.
Is there a second?
A second.
I have a question on this. To whom and when would this up to $3,000 be given? Because under the circumstances of the loss in government revenue, federal or local government revenues, and business revenue, I think it's hard to be sure that anything much is going to be done. And I wonder if we would be, I don't want us to give up money until we're sure that everybody is going to be able to contribute. No, the other partners who are going to come up with the rest of the funds.
Yeah, Sandra, from what I understand, this is SPLOST beautification funding, and I think that legally has to be earmarked for the purposes that it was, sort of voted on in the referendum. Certainly, there are budget pressures on DeKalb County and state of Georgia, I would think these are protected. Now, these monies will have to be spent. So the money that we're requesting here, plus the ILPA donation and private donations, will all be spent, I would say, in the next 3 months, because we will go and hire Lord Ake and Taylor to actually do the assessment work. Then they will have an output, which we would certainly share with this group. And we would then take that to DeKalb and say, DeKalb, here are the 5 things they are recommending. And we would build a plan for them, DeKalb, working with us and CSX to actually do the restoration work itself.
So we're in for the planning money.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. Because it would last, even if it were postponed a couple of years.
The planning would still be good. Yeah,
right.
That's what I mean.
The other aspect of it, Sandra, is Doug has lined up a couple of $1,000s worth of matching money we have that in hand now if we move on this thing.
Okay, that's good.
Doug,
yes,
CSX, have they indicated that whether or not they contribute money, will they allow this work to be done, or they object to anybody fooling with their bridge?
No, they actually have an entire public works manual that I've become a little too familiar with. It's 120 pages, and they actually have very specific processes for just this kind of thing. So they would be supportive. They do require a public entity, which is why we approached DeKalb to be the co-signer on the contract. And they even have special project management companies that deal with this kind of stuff. So I've already spoken to that project management company. Arcadis is their name. And once we sort of have this in hand, we will go to the vendor, Lord Ayak and Taylor, and Arcadis, and say, we're ready to initiate. They will kick off a formal project, and there's no reason to think CSX would have a problem with this.
Thank you.
Doug, I have a question. When OPA agreed to this money, how long ago was that?
Yvette, do you guys want to speak to that? Because I know you were one of the ones that spoke to Sandra and team.
Yeah, it was about 2 weeks ago. Okay. And we met with Sandra and they were on board with it. Everybody wants the bridge to be beautified, and especially in time for the Olmsted 200. Anybody disagree that the bridge needs to be?
So we have a seconded motion?
Mm-hmm. We just need a vote.
All right, so all in favor, you wanna hold, or do we do this, Doug, can we do this via whatever, or we just hold our hands up?
I can try this. You wanna try it virtually?
Just count hands, why don't we?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, 17 hands.
I count
18. 18 hands, all opposed?
Oh, Harriet's raised, yep.
Okay, all opposed?
So nine, was that 19 then?
I believe so.
All right, I'm gonna write it down. 19 for up to 3,000.
Thank you.
All right, you're on, Steve. Are you giving the goods in the Chabad Center then?
Yes, it's a Chabad Center, by the way.
That's a hard C.
Yes, it is. The Chabad Center, which is 1526, is it? It's North Decatur Road, one building up, uphill and to the left of the old Darden Research Center. And it's the building that is there currently is a historic home, very lovely historic home, behind which has been for the last year or so a very large tent. And maybe 3 or 4 years ago, we actually assisted the Chabad Center in getting a rezoning of the property from residential to OIT, transitional office institutional, in order for it to fit with the use, which is a Jewish student center for Emory students. So along comes Linda Dunleavy, who's one of our favorite lawyers involved in DeKalb County land use cases. And she files a very detailed application, which I hope you've had a chance to take a look at, that basically leaves the main building alone, adds a deck to the back of the building, and then adds a building which is nearly twice the size of the building in front of it. Architecturally, as you can see, very, very different. A very, very large, a very tall building, which will be their events hall, the place where they will hold large events, which includes restrooms, a small kitchen, and a very large meeting area. The land use committee has talked about this, and we're fairly clear about the fact that we oppose it. We oppose it because it is architecturally inconsistent with what's around it in the neighborhood. And also just the idea of a building being nearly twice, a building behind a main building being nearly twice the size of the building to which it is appended doesn't really fit at all in the guidelines or anything and look like anything like anything in the neighborhood. If you take a look at the drawings, you'll see there that it's wooden slats and a lot of glass. It doesn't look anything at all like the building to which it is associated, as well as to buildings in the neighborhood. I consulted with pretty much all the neighbors, and they are all very, very much against it. I can't say that they're against it for the reasons that pertain to the Historic Preservation Commission and historic preservation. It's more the rabbi has made, the director of this student center has made a lot of enemies in the neighborhood due to noise and overflow parking and other issues. But they're not happy about the fact that this big building would go in there as well. There'll be some very severely impacted neighbors on the dead end of Oakdale Road, butt up against the back of this building. And this building will also require substantial variances, both in terms of setback and, what else is there? There's a transition. There's supposed to be a transition, a buffer zone that is supposed to exist as well. That he'll have to get variances for. And so we are opposed to it. And the only reason why, well, it's a significant development, so it ought to be brought by the board. But especially we wanted to bring it by the board because this brought back to me echoes of other times when we've opposed developments in the neighborhood, the one that I think of is just up the hill from this, is Jerusalem House. And the association caught a lot of hell for opposing a home for mothers with AIDS, homeless mothers with AIDS. So, you know, I wanted to be sensitive to the fact that this is both a Jewish community center and also a university function. That, you know, we could be accused of being NIMBYs about or being anti-Semitic or being whatever. And it's got nothing to do with why we oppose it. It's got to do with the fact that it just is so out of any sort of, you know, range of what you see in the neighborhood that we are opposed to it on that basis. But at the same time, it felt like it was politically sensitive enough so that the board ought to discuss it.
Leon, I know you had a dissenting opinion on this. You're not opposed, correct? And you live on Oakdale. So I'd like to hear your take on this.
You got to unmute, though, for us to hear you. We can't hear you. There you go.
I don't understand why we would oppose a structure when right next door there's a commercial building that is much more obvious from the street. This building wouldn't be seen from the street from what I can see. It would be blocked by the house in front, but there's a office building next door that doesn't conform to anything historic in the neighborhood. And then you got CVS next to that. So it's already a commercial area. I don't see what the big objection is because they're not in any way changing the front building, which does have historic status, but I do not know about the complaints from the neighbors behind.
Yeah. Two things I would say, Leon. Number one is that we think of it as an expansion of that commercial flavor, you know, one house up and into the neighborhood. That's what's happening here. And the second thing is that it would be very visible to buildings essentially downhill toward the village from it. That side, the east side of that building, is about 30 feet tall, and so you're not going to miss this building that's going to be there. Granted, it is right next to the Darden Research Center. My argument would be that let's put the commercial architectural type of a building and the size of the buildings at the Darden Center and not take them further up the street.
Stephen, this is Jenny. Mm-hmm. I would just comment that the Darden building and the CVS building were built long before the historic district came in. So there were no rules or regulations governing those two buildings, but the house where the center is proposed is a historic house. It has not been altered. So that's my two cents.
It's a really nice house, by the way. It's the rabbi's house, the director of the student center. And it's very nice and very well kept.
Stephen, have there been direct discussions with the center about the project?
No, not so far. We wanted to come to an opinion first about it, and it got delayed with coronavirus issues. But I will be talking to their counsel, Linda, about it. The rabbi has met with us. He's a really nice guy. He obviously wants to do this, and he must have the money to do it, and he's going to be disappointed. But I think that we need to go ahead and take a stand, and I will freely communicate that with them.
Can I ask two questions?
Sure.
Yes.
David, who owns the property? Yes. Who technically owns the property?
I believe it is it Chabad Emory, or it is a corporation of which the rabbi is the principal. So.
Could they accomplish what they need to accomplish with a smaller building in the back?
I suspect that they would say no, but I don't know that. The thing that we were willing to discuss with them is a substantial expansion to the back of the historic building, but I'm not even sure that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. It seems to me this is the kind of use, and I hate to sound like a disgruntled neighbor in a university neighborhood, but it's the kind of use that really needs to be somewhere in the university within the university and not out on the fringes of the university.
Mm-hmm. Sandra, were you trying to speak?
Yeah, please. How visible is this going to be? Very visible from Oakdale and Emory behind it.
It's going to be very visible from the dead end of Oakdale. And it'll be visible from a couple different places at Emory Village, but primarily the old Darden Research Building parking lot, and then down to the parking lot at the CVS.
And from Oxford Road too, on the other side of the creek. You know, if you're
what about again, a lot of it will depend on the time of the year and that sort of thing, but you will be able to see it from a lot of the area just to the north of the fountain, north of the intersection of the traffic circle at Emory Village.
Mm-hmm. And is this going to be used for residential purposes at all?
The rabbi's family is there, and what the rabbi was seeking to attain was a place for he and his family to live, and then have kids come in for events, and kids come in to just sort of, you know, hang out there, and use primarily the new building to do that. He would be able to keep the house for his family.
Where is the family now? Is the family They're in the building.
They're in 1526.
In the historic house?
Yes.
All right, and they want to move from the historic house to this new building?
No.
The new building is just a meeting space.
Plus residential for some students?
No. It's just purely a meeting space.
Imagine they're packing a conference center onto the back of the residence.
Okay. But unattached.
It's attached with a deck, I believe. There's a large
deck. Yeah, so there's a very, very substantial deck that will be there, and that raises some issues with the neighbors because they're worried about the fact that that will be party central. That'll be a generator of a lot of noise. And they're getting a lot of noise right now with a tent, which is up there, results in, there's all sorts of functions going on there that create a lot of noise in the neighborhood and a lot of enmity in the neighborhood.
This is Penny again. I want to comment that, you know, I live near the Cater-Wolford Center, and they have created very bad will with the Lake Clair neighborhood because of the noise, but they have accomplished some things by having only acoustic instruments and not electronic instruments, but that is an issue of having a party place in a neighborhood.
Well,
keep in mind too, with this is a 3,700 square foot addition. It's nearly twice as large as the original structure. And they need variances even under OIT, which is more permissive than the old zoning. And even with that, the rear of the new structure, which is 30 feet high, will be within 15 feet of the rear property line, backing up to residences along Oakdale. So it'll be very close and very personal. I don't like the optics of being in opposition to a Jewish community center any more than I would the DeKalb School Board. I know Alan Ballard and Bruce McGregor are not of this opinion, but I don't see anything wrong with us letting them know that if you bring us an application that conforms to existing OIT standards and conforms to HBC guidelines, then we're willing to talk. But this is a very, very large addition that's all out of proportion to anything that the existing guidelines allow and to what's allowed under OIT zoning.
Well, David Cullison certainly opposes it in a pretty emphatic statement. And is somebody going to accuse him of being anti-Semitic or?
Well, you never know. I think it's a red herring. I don't think there's, the rabbi is totally nice and I don't think he would take it to that level. We met with him about the OIT zoning and it was quite civil actually. So I don't think anybody's thinking about going there, to be honest.
So can I ask a
Van? Sorry, Alita, go ahead.
I was just gonna point out that the one benefit of this layout, although I understand all the opposition and so on, but just from a noise standpoint, the way that it's laid out, it sort of pushes the outside noise closer to the existing house. as opposed to where the tent is now, which I'm guessing is in the middle of that space. If whatever they built, if it was a little more scaled down, if they built it with noise in mind, it might actually keep protect those neighbors on Oakdale from noise if it was done correctly.
Oh, I think it definitely would protect the neighbors from noise compared to what they have right now, because the tent doesn't contain the noise very well. So they're getting really bad noise problems right now. The building would help in that regard, but the building, again, we're looking at this in terms of historic preservation, and this building is about as far out as anything I've seen applied in the DeKalb Historic District in a while.
And the neighbors are opposed to it?
Yep, the neighbors are opposed to it.
So they think it would be worse than the current circumstances.
Yes.
Noise or otherwise.
Yeah.
Is this the only Jewish center at Emory that Emory University would have?
I mean, no. I'm familiar. I was thinking that there was one up on Clifton Road.
No.
They have a Hillel.
I'm sorry, Leon. You were saying?
There is the Hillel House, which is on the other side of the Emory campus off of Houston Mill. And I don't think there's any complaints about that.
Yeah.
That's what I've been familiar with at other colleges and universities, Hillel houses.
Yeah.
I won't get into all the politics of what Chabad is trying to do as far as taking over the functions of Hillel. They are competing with them, and where their money comes from, God only knows.
We don't want to get in the middle of that.
So I have a couple of questions for Talita.
Yes, Lord.
Is that okay? But before I ask them, I just want to say I thought the committee statement, Stephen, was very good, and especially citing all those sections of the guidelines. And I learned something from looking them up. And I think that would also include proportion. I've been so beaten down in the city that it's mass scale, proportion, and materials that matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
But what exactly does that, whatever zoning allow? And what about parking? It must include some parking regulations.
I'm not clear on that. Kate, you may remember this better, but as I recall, it just is less stringent than a straight O and I. It allows for a transition. An O and I use that transit that is adjacent to residences. And yeah. I think it's supposed to protect residences, but at the same time not be as stringent as O and I.
Alita, they'll need variances for their parking under OIT. According to the plan that they had submitted, they'll need variances for parking. That's my understanding.
What kind of variance? I mean, do the kids walk there?
I'm not sure. They actually have parking underneath the structure. Isn't that correct, Steve? I think they have about eight correct. Or nine spaces or something like that.
Yeah, on the east side of the building, there'll be parking underneath.
My understanding is it's insufficient given the scale of the structure and these. They're supposed to have more parking, believe it or not. I think they're almost counting on continuing to have spillover parking at the Darden Research Building that the owner, Matthew Stoddard, has complained to us about. In other words, they don't have enough parking
square
footage for the footprint that they're planning on building. That's my understanding. I could be mistaken about that.
Yeah, I think footage.
This is Jenny again.
Sure.
Is an option for this group to get a place from Emory University where they can build what they want on the campus? Is that even an option?
No.
No doubt. Yeah. I doubt it. I don't know much about Emory. Sorry. Who was that?
Has the university weighed in their favor on this? Does the university have any ownership interest? Have they said anything about this before, against it?
No, I don't think they've taken a position either way.
Do they intend to, do you suppose?
Do not know.
We have no idea.
I wouldn't be surprised if they just stay away from us. But
it's off campus.
I would.
So, Stephen, Alita, again, another question, following up on something Leon brought up. That, is it Jimmy John that went where my Chevron station used to be?
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That certainly went through the Emory Village guidelines process, right? Mm-hmm. And in terms of mass, scale, proportion, and so on, that had to comply, correct? That's the only new structure, really, recently?
Wasn't that within the existing structure of the gas station? I thought it was within the original.
It didn't change the structure at all.
Yeah, I think they just gutted the building and put a new facade on it, but I think it's the same building.
Okay, so they didn't want to increase it or anything. They kept the scale and so forth.
Correct, right.
But this is outside of the Emory Village overlay. This is outside of that jurisdiction.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just outside of the EVA has already said that they're not going to have an opinion on the matter. It's outside their jurisdiction.
So is it in Division 7 then? Where is it?
I think so, but it's within the DeKalb Historic District.
Yeah, right. Okay, so really it's not the Emory Village guidelines. Okay.
No, not the Emory Village guidelines.
Not the overlay. So I think all we need to do is the board needs to vote whether we want our land use committee to oppose this certificate of appropriateness. Is that correct?
Which is coming up before the HPC in early June. Yes, correct.
Well, I'd like to
form a motion, Steve.
Okay.
Who's going to do the motion?
And the motion is?
Steve's working on it, right?
Sandra, are you with it? Go ahead.
No, I wanted to ask Steve to form a motion that he would like.
If I'm allowed to, I would just simply say we're going to authorize Land Use Committee to oppose the application before the HPC for the reasons stated in the position paper which we provided to you.
Second.
Okay, all in favor, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Hey. Alan, is your hand up?
11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Don't see Harriet or Sue or Bruce voting.
Can you see me?
No.
I think I may be on my son's page.
Yes, but we can't see your face. So just tell, are you voting for the opposition?
Correct.
Okay, that's 17. Harriet, are you voting?
Sue,
are you voting?
That's sufficient, though. That's 17 votes.
All right, that's 17. That's fine.
I'm not voting.
All who are voting are not opposed? Okay. All right, it carries 17 votes. Okay?
Throw me in there, too.
I'm sorry?
Throw me in there, too.
Okay. All right.
I was talking to my son before he left, so.
Yeah. Oh, that was Carol. Okay, so 18. And Jenny, I guess we couldn't see you. Are you voting to oppose?
I'm voting with the motion, yes.
To oppose. All right, yes. 19. Okay, we're good.
Okay, is that it?
Can I ask a question about from the Land Use Committee?
Yes.
We got an email from a disgruntled resident about some clear cutting in the front yard, rear yard, and side yard.
Been taken care of, Jenny. I was in touch with DeKalb County yesterday. Carlson, the arborist, was called out there. Officer Schaefer was out there. Stop work order was issued yesterday and 4 citations.
So are the trees gone? Are they?
It is clear cut.
It was completely gone. I drove out there as soon as I got the email notifying me of that, and it was done. The whole property had been cleared. They got out there on a weekend. Which is indicative of intent to evade.
Yes.
The channels. Yeah. But come Monday, they hadn't cleared. They cut down a number of specimen pines, although I'm not naturally wedded to pines. They were, the one that I saw was probably 42 inches in caliper. And the trunks were still laying in the front yard on Tuesday. So when Officer Shave came by, there was plenty of smoke and guns to go around. One of the neighbors claimed that there was a little miniature tributary to Peavine or something that runs through the back of the property, and they cleared both banks of it. And there were some concerns about dirt, mud, and whatnot being dumped into it. All I know is there's 4 citations now in the stop work order.
Do we know why the citizens decided to do this?
1207 Oakdale. Somebody, I can't remember who told, somebody said that the guy just wanted a blank slate to work with in terms of landscape. He wanted to redevelop the property.
He wanted to start from scratch on his landscaping.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it when I drove by there the other day.
I couldn't either. It's just shocking that anybody in Druid Hills would do that.
What I mean is it's been completely cleared. If anybody hasn't seen it, it's 1207 Oakdale. They completely cleared it, property line to property line, front and back.
Great.
Nothing standing. Not even a blade of grass.
Yeah. No grass, no shrubs, nothing.
I've never seen anything quite like it, to be honest.
No.
So this particular homeowner did not know about the regulations?
It's
this
possible.
This is a new homeowner? February of 19, they bought that house. But why anyone in a neighborhood would think that they could do something so massive without any permits is beyond me. And why any landscaping company of any, you know, size would think that they could go out and do that without any permits on that property.
Well, I don't know the landscaper. The truck that I saw up front with the skid steer on the trailer was called Engineered Solutions. I don't know if they're the general contractor and subbed out the landscaping work or what exactly was going on. That's the only company name that I saw. But the fact that they pulled the trigger on the work Saturday morning and worked all weekend leads me to believe that they probably knew a little something about the regulations and were trying to evade them, because that's the MO of folks trying to evade oversight or evade the county. Seen a lot of tree demolitions and whatnot that take place over the weekend that tend to be a little squirrely and unpermitted. So, but I don't know that for a fact.
Yeah, but in DeKalb County, you can cut up to 5 trees on a residential property per year, isn't that right? Or is that changed?
That is true, but you can't clear cut the whole property in the manner that we did it and then get into what may be a stream buffer. There's all sorts of things beyond just clearing, cutting down the pines. They cut down 3 specimen pines and a bunch of other trees as well. Beyond whatever you're allowed, there's other issues to what they did beyond just simply cutting the trees down.
So there was no tree cutting company involved?
I'm sure there was one. I just didn't see it. By the time I got out there, all I saw was the Engineered Solutions truck. I didn't see the trees being cut down.
Aluda, you know who lives next door? Is Brian Bowen lives next door.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He communicated with us today, and he had gone and talked to the homeowner on Saturday, and when it started, you know, and said, you know, what are you doing? And he said the homeowner told him that he wanted to landscape and he wanted a clean slate and he wanted to start from scratch. And Brian mistakenly just left it at that and assumed that the guy had permits. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's that. Oh, and so if we're talking announcements, I finally got my estimate back from Georgia Power for the street lighting on the north end of the neighborhood. $275,000 for $5,000 of fixture. So they highballed me pretty bad. But at least I have an estimate. Probably going to reconvene Leon, if you're still interested, reconvene the committee. They're going to have to work with me on that quote. Maybe I could get some help from DeKalb County on that. It's too high. But at least they got it to me 4 years later. I have my estimate.
What location exactly does that include?
The whole north end of the neighborhood, North Decatur, Oakdale, Springdale, Cornell, Emory, Harvard.
That's really not that bad.
Well, you know, I'm just, I got to go talk to some folks about how they could do the assessment. You know, I talked with Ann about this, and again, the lump sum up front is not going to be a starter. Maybe if it was amortized over 5 years or something like that, people might be willing to do it.
Mark, were you in when y'all did the lighting up there on your part? Does Georgia Power allow you to bill? Will they bill you, like, say, bill each resident $200 a year or something for 5 years or something like that to make feasible?
We the cost for us, part of it was paid up front, which was our fundraising effort. The other part was an attachment of $100 a year to property taxes for all the residents on the affected streets. So we didn't have to raise, you know, all the money up front. We did have to raise, I think it was $30,000 or $40,000, which we did get, but then everybody has $100 a year on their property taxes, whether you voted initially for it or not. Ultimately, if you had a threshold number of people wanting it, then the plan went through and everybody had the $100 assessment.
So it was billed through taxes, though, rather than, but it went to Georgia Power?
Yes. Yes. When that $100 also covers the maintenance on the light post. So the replacement of the bulbs, if any of them get damaged, Georgia Power pays for the replacement of the fixture.
There's a certain amount of electricity cost that
I believe the $100 covered that.
Regarding the replacement of the lights, Georgia Power does not help us on Ponce, on said linear park lights. They don't do anything for us. They may change the bulbs, I don't know, but when they're hit by a car and they're damaged, they do not replace them.
Ooh, Rocky. You've had that issue several times on Ponce. Who replaced those bulbs down there by Lionsgate?
The city of Atlanta does it if it's in the city. Public Works does it.
Public Works is replacing the bulbs?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, Bill Grabowski was part of the negotiation with Georgia Power and the county when we did Oakdale.
How many total lights did they install in Oakdale, do you recall? Was it 19 or less than 20?
That's a pretty close number, I think.
Okay. But as I recall, the upfront cost was something more on the order of, you know, like $2,000 a unit rather than $5,000. So, like, it was a lot more reasonable. You said you had to raise $30,000 up front and then $100 a year assessment, right, per property owner.
A year. A year.
Yeah, but he only had 20 lights. Is that right?
Right.
Well, like, I've got
roughly, 50, yeah.
Close to 55.
I've got 55 at 5,000 a unit, but it's 275 for 55 lights. So they've, you know, I've gotten blown out of the water a little bit on, but you did yours 8 or 9 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago, didn't you? Like right around
correct.
The last crash.
Yeah. Yeah, correct. It might be 10 years.
Yeah.
Kit, do you know how many houses altogether are within the area that we're talking about?
There's like a couple of hundred. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I can get it to you. I think part of the problem, too, is the streets curve heavily in the area, and the boring is going to be a lot more difficult, a lot more technical to run the power. And Oakdale runs a lot straighter, and the boring is ergo is a lot. A lot of the cost, the overwhelming bulk of it, in fact, is in the boring and the running of the power. So I think that's part of the reason that my quote has come in so high. You can imagine the difficulties of boring where every street is curving in that manner. It's going to be very difficult. Anyway, so there you are.
It may be reasonable, though, if you're talking about 200 homes.
I think it's reasonable. I just would prefer to have a number that's the most easily sellable number that I have for the general public. It's totally worth it to me. But I'd like to follow up with Mark and Leon, and I think I've talked to y'all, and then convene the posse, Bill Aikenhead and the other guys, now that we finally got a quote, maybe brainstorm about how to make this happen.
Yeah, let's do that, because I would love to see that happen. I think it'd be great. I'd like to see the the Cobra lights on Oxford replaced with nice ones as part of that. So I would like to do anything I can help.
Yeah, those Cobra lights look like War of the World on Oxford. You know, it's terrible. Man. The historic lights would be way better. But yeah, we'll talk.
Exactly.
You know, now that we actually have an estimate, we can actually get the ball rolling. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so just a reminder, everybody, talk to your neighbors. Make sure everybody knows that the meeting next week is the presentation. From the consultant, it's at 7:30. The link and the announcement is on our website. If they didn't get an announcement via email, or if you don't have it, it's sent to them. But be sure that that message is out there so nobody says, oh, I didn't know. It is next Wednesday, 7:30, and the link is on our website.
Rocky.
Yes.
This is Jenny. Could you give an update on the incident with the standoff and all that, just so that people are aware of it?
At Ponce and Clifton?
Yes, we had a SWAT team, and Rocky's home was invaded.
Yeah, I attended a bond hearing for the gentleman last Monday, and it was denied. And so I think he's going to be in jail for a while. They will let me know before there's another hearing. I will add that the public defender assigned to the individual said that he was so severely mentally disabled that she couldn't have a coherent conversation with him.
That explains that. Yeah. Somehow he was attached to your area there in South Pond.
You know, I'm a little more concerned about why mentally unstable people get such easy access to guns, because he had a couple.
Yeah. Probably took them out of one of our cars.
That's not funny, Ann.
But it's true.
That's true.
It is true.
That's true.
Ann, this is Carol. Am I to report on the NPU bylaw changes tonight? I don't think there'll be time next week.
Oh, yeah, you can. Yes, we won't have any other regular business next week, so go ahead.
Okay, so basically what the bylaws changes are for the NPU is to really provide for Zoom meetings. That's all it really does. So they had to change the bylaws to say how you certify attendance, and who gets to speak, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really not, it's just that they're only changing them so that they can work from a Zoom format if necessary.
And so we just need to say that Druid Hills is fine with that.
Right, but supposedly the whole neighborhood is supposed to be able to vote on this.
Oh.
The whole city of Atlanta neighborhood. So I'm just going to wait to hear from anybody who's opposed to this. I think Fran was going to
put
that. It would
just be Division 1.
Right. Fran was going to put that in the email to anybody opposed to this to contact me. So I could get that vote. But otherwise, I could say that, and I guess only Division 1 votes on this, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Division 1.
Hey, Sharon. Could you send out, can you make some type of notice for Fran to post on our website?
Sure.
And let as many people as you have email addresses for know, but if we post it on our website.
I think I asked Fran to do that. I asked Fran to send out an email.
I haven't seen it.
Huh. Okay.
Anyway, Sharon, will you check with Fran?
I'll touch base with Fran. Yep. Okay. And that's Carol, I'll touch base with you too with regard to content.
Okay. I'll just forward that to you.
Okay, great.
And one other thing, Randall Fox wants to change his Spring Fest to August 9th and 10th. So it does not have to come before us to do this, but it does have to go before the NPU. But we put in our 2 cents worth. So I know how much you all love Randall Fox. So
is that that festival on Ponce?
Yeah. And I don't know what's happening to the, he usually has a fall festival too, right?
Right. Maybe it will only be one festival.
Maybe. Anyway, that's just for your information that there's a, it'll be happening in August.
Well, Carol, do we have any reason to change our opinion of that situation?
With Randall Fox?
Right.
No. Also just, I guess this is also just the City of Atlanta vote, right? About Randall Fox.
Well, about his organization and
whether or not we support that.
So do we need to vote on that, or you just expressed that we're not tremendously impressed?
Well, I think the NPU always votes against it anyway.
Okay.
Whether
how many are there on this meeting from the city? 4 or 5?
There are Travis, you, I, Jan, and Sharon.
Sharon, 1, 2, 3, 4 of you.
Is Travis still there?
Jen?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 of us.
6 of us.
In the city? Oh, yeah, Rocky. Yeah.
Jenny, Sharon, Alita, Jan, and I.
Okay. Well, if y'all have a comment, let Carol know.
Okay.
Okay, I echo Travis. I'm with Carol.
Yep.
So am I. How to do that chat. We all have to learn our chat. Does everybody else know chat? For next week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all I have.
I think that's
so is
it.
That it? Yep. Okay, well then are we adjourned?
We are
adjourned. Thank you all for coming. Yeah, I know the big meeting next Wednesday. Let's all be there, okay? Very important.
Kip, this is Jenny again. We didn't approve the past minutes. That's procedural matter.
Oh, gee, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the minutes from the February meeting.
Whenever we met last.
Yeah.
Yes, we have, and they're posted. November and January are posted.
Yeah.
We did not meet in February.
Can we get a motion to approve the minutes?
Yeah, well, I haven't read them. Has anybody read them?
No, we have approved everything that was sent out. The last time we met was via Zoom, so we didn't have minutes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
But the
February meeting didn't. No, we didn't have a February meeting, did we?
We did physically. Not have a February meeting.
Okay. All right.
In March, we met on Zoom.
Yeah. Then we're good.
We're good. Okay. Thank you. Right.
Are we adjourned?
See you next week.
We are adjourned. Bye. I'll see you guys this coming Wednesday. Thank you all for being here.
Thanks.
Bye.